So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
The power of ordinary. Punch your neighbor, say, boy, there's some hope for you. The power of ordinary. Because, you know, we expect God to use the elite of people and the elite of other folks. We expect God to use the elite, but that's not what he always does. That's not what he always does. He uses the ordinary. Now, for those of you who get puffed up when God uses you, remember God used a donkey. Remember God used a child for the two fishes and the five loaves. You know, don't get all puffed up. Because God can use anybody and anything, and he can use whatever. Come on, somebody. All right, go with me to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Hallelujah. It is good to see you. I just recognized who you were. I said, I think I know who that is. That's Lisa's daddy, right? All right, I can't remember your name. Give it to me. Bruce. Right. Pastor Bruce, they've been up in Jacksonville pastoring, and the interim pastor. So are y'all moved back? Outstanding. Good to see you. Praise God. Great man of God. No, his daughter ain't too great, but he's a great man of God. I'm just messing with you, Lisa. I love you guys. John, one day the leaders of the town of Jericho visited Elisha and said, "We have a problem, my lord," they told him. "This town is located in pleasant surroundings, as you can see, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive." Elisha said, "Bring me a new bowl with salt in it." So they brought it to him. And then he went out to the spring that supplied the town with water and threw the salt in it. And he said, "This is what the Lord says. I have purified this water. It will no longer cause death or infertility. And the water has remained pure ever since, just as Elisha said." Now here we have water that was bad and land that is unproductive, but the surroundings is pleasant. Now when I begin to read this past week, and you know, how many understand that when you're going through stuff, when you read stuff, it is interpreted sometimes in different ways. You can be read the one thing and you're on top of the mountain, it says one thing to you. You can be on an even keel, it says another. You can be lower than a gopher's transmission and it says something else. But you've got to recognize what it's saying. Now I remember a time when we didn't used to have to buy bottled water. Now only you Southerners are going to understand this. How many remember when you just went to the side of the house and drank out of the spigot? Wasn't nothing wrong with that. You drink out of the water hose, and it didn't have that water hose taste. But now I know the difference. I done got bougie with my water. Amen. But I still like my best. Listen. If you buy Evian water, which is like the most expensive. If you spell it backwards, it spells naive. Think about it. It came out of a spigot somewhere. Y'all naive suckers is what y'all are. Amen. Buying $4 bottle of Evian. Every time you buy it now, you just think, I'm naive. That's what I'm doing. I'm drinking naive water. Amen. But apparently the water was making people sick. And looking at this passage with a spiritual filter, we can surmise that water many times represents life. Oh, kind of feel like Brian Cutshaw up here. Yes, so water represents life. Yes, yes, yes. Water represents life, and it's associated with birth, fertility, and refreshment. So we could say that sometimes we allow everyone to see the pleasant part of our lives, but really what's flowing out of our pleasantness is bad water and unfruitful land. What they're seeing is beautiful, but what flows out of a person or an inhabitant is not good and not producing any healthy fruit. And so you wonder why you look at other people and you see fruitfulness and you see God moving in their life, but where is God moving in my life? Well, this condition is the case for many people in the church. So what did the prophet do? What did the man of God do? He said, bring me a new bowl. Point number one, if you're taking notes, bring me a new bowl. Now, he didn't say, go to Tiffany's and get me a Tiffany bowl. He said, go get me a bowl, an ordinary clay bowl that even the peasants have. Come on, somebody. That you go just get me an ordinary bowl, not the bowl from the finest porcelain, but an ordinary bowl. And when you get the ordinary bowl, bring me some ordinary salt in this bowl. Now, some of you are like, Pastor, where are you going? I'm going somewhere. Hang on. Bring me some ordinary salt. So now what we have, what he's going to use here is he's going to use an ordinary bowl with ordinary salt. You think that when God gets ready to do something supernatural in your life, that he's got to use the magnificent or the supernatural. But God said, bring me an ordinary bowl with some ordinary salt, and I'm going to give you some extraordinary results. Help me, somebody. You see, there is power in the ordinary. We read scriptures and think about how the folks in the Bible were a super duper whopper whooper kind of people, but that's not who they were. They were ordinary people who encountered an extraordinary God, that God did extraordinary things through their life by them obeying, my God, the ordinary. So you say, but Pastor, I'm not a preacher. God didn't say that. God just said, bring me, or the man of God said, just bring me a new bowl. God uses ordinary people. See, when we read scriptures, we think that these people were extraordinary, but they're not. God uses ordinary people with an extraordinary God. It's not that we have such extraordinary gifts, that we have an extraordinary giver of gifts is the issue. It's not that, you know, have you ever drank something and thought, you know what, this would be better? This would be better in a more expensive bottle. No, we haven't done that. Now, I will be the first to say that I'm going to have to share my age here. The best Coca-Cola is in them old thick bottles back in the day. Come on, somebody. That was good. But I can promise you that it is not the cost of the vessel that makes the content any better. It is God uses, my God, I'm about to get on next week. God uses ordinary people and puts inside of them giftings and callings that if they will allow God to flow through them, then it's the ordinary that God starts with in order to produce the supernatural. Yeah, you got to hear me now. It's the ordinary that God starts with. We want God to start with the magnificent. But God doesn't need you to be magnificent because he is magnificent. He doesn't need you to be extraordinary because he is extraordinary. He just needs you to obey him in the ordinary. My God, help me, Jesus. God uses an ordinary bowl, an ordinary salt to purify contaminated water. God is looking for a new bowl. Look at somebody and tell them a new bowl. God is looking for a new bowl, a new container, a new vessel, someone who is born again. Amen. Wait a minute, preacher. That's all I've got to do to be used? Yes. All that you need in order to be used by God is to be born again. And a new vessel, one that is born again and will allow the extraordinary God to do extraordinary things, and in and through that vessel, which most people consider ordinary. See, that's why most people couldn't accept Jesus. They were looking for a Messiah that came in as a king. But you see, he wasn't coming to be king. He was a king that was coming. Oh, come on, somebody. You see, when here's the deal, man. When you know who you are, you ain't got to ask anybody who you are. I love this story. We went to Branson, Missouri, and we went to see, is it Steve Williams? He's dead now. He's an old guy. Anyway, we went to see him. He sang, Moon River. Come on, some of you old people, tell me. Andy Williams. See, I knew somebody knew it. We went to see Andy Williams. Why? Because everybody in Branson is old. But anyway, so matter of fact, I went to see Andy Williams, me and my wife, and I had two people ask me to help them up. Young man. No joke. Young man, could you help me? Yes, ma'am, I will. Come on. Yeah. Well, son, could you help me? Yes, ma'am, I sure will. Come on. Come on. And they said, when you get my age, I hope somebody helps you up. I said, me too. I hope somebody helps me up tomorrow. Anyway, come on. So I went to hear him, and he told this story that he went to one of his friends. His mother was in the nursing home, and they went to see them in the nursing home. And in the nursing home, he wanted to give his friend and his mom some time together. So he just went out into the courtyard. And there was a lovely 97-year-old woman out there in the courtyard. And they sat and talked for about an hour. So, of course, she knew who Andy Williams was. But she didn't know she was talking to Andy Williams. And so he looked at her and said, ma'am, at the end, he said, I want to give her a thrill to know that she's talking to Andy Williams. And she said, ma'am, do you know who I am? And she looked around. And she said, no, but if you'll ask the nurses, they'll tell you who you are. Amen. A little humble pie there. But see, when you know who you are, you ain't got to ask everybody who you are. That's why we're going around looking for accolades from somebody. Somebody to affirm us who we are. But baby, I'm okay with being ordinary as long as an extraordinary God can flow through this ordinary vessel. I'm all right. I don't have to be Mr. Whooper Whopper. As long as I can be a man of God that God uses, I'm all right with it. Glory to God. Salt has the ability to preserve. I want you to understand that the supernatural starts with the ordinary. God takes your natural, puts his super with it, and your natural with his super becomes the supernatural. Huh. Point number two is this. When God wants to do a miracle, he starts with the ordinary. When God wants to do a miracle, it's like the old boy that the flood was coming. And he said, God, save me from this flood. And there was a boat that came by. Said, get in the boat. He goes, no, God's going to save me. All right, the water got a little deeper. He went up to the second floor. God, another boat came to the second floor window. Get in the boat. No, the Lord is going to save me. The water got a little higher. He got up on top of the roof. A helicopter came by. No, the Lord is going to save me. Well, he died. He drowned in the flood. He got to heaven and said, Lord, I thought you was going to save me. He said, I sent two boats and a helicopter. What else did you want? And that's the way some of us are. God, save me. He said, what you need is discipline. God, save me. What you need to do is what I've already told you to do. God, give me a new revelation. What you need is what I've already given you. God, I need you. No, what you need to do is what I've already told you. You need to do the ordinary. No, we're Pentecostal. We want to do something super fantastic and weird. No, just do what I've already told you to do. In John chapter 9, verse 6, Jesus took, there was a man that was blind there, and Jesus took and clay coupled with spittle. He spit on the ground, ordinary spit, with ordinary clay, made an ordinary mud pie, and put on an ordinary affliction of blindness, and told him to go wash in the ordinary pool of Siloam, and he was healed from his blindness. Ordinary. Well, but you can make an argument, though, you know, because I had this argument with myself, but we could make an argument. The spit from Jesus was an ordinary. Well, okay. Well, let's take that route. Then Jesus took ordinary dirt with an extraordinary spit. Let me just tell all of y'all, don't spit on me unless you know you, Jesus. Because if you spit on me, it's going to be on like Donkey Kong. It's going to be on like neck bone. All right, so don't be doing that. See, that's why some of y'all don't sit on the first two or three rows, because I spit a little bit when I preach. And so y'all like just sitting back. That's a splash zone. So he took extraordinary spit, put on ordinary clay, made an ordinary pie, put it on an ordinary affliction, sent him to an ordinary pool of Siloam, and you know what happened? Extraordinary came. Now, I want you to get this. Man, if you don't get anything else, you got to get this. Get my next one. There is no kingdom power without kingdom obedience. Well, I want to do it my way. I did it my... No! I did it my way. And that's why you got the results that you got. You got to do it God's way. So many of us are missing out on the miracle because we will not do the ordinary obedience. If we do the sometime difficult, God will do the impossible. But listen, the supernatural miracle of blind eyes opening was the result of obedience to the ordinary. What we want is come down, let somebody lay hands on us, and then leave. Or many of us, because we don't like the altar. We don't want to be singled out. We don't want people to know that we're having an issue. We don't want to come to the altar. God, I know you can do it right where you are. Yes, he can. God could have healed the blind man. Jesus could have healed the blind man just by walking down and saying, be healed. But that's not what he chose to do. He chose, will you be obedient? Will you do the normal? Will you do the ordinary? And if you will obey me in the ordinary, I will do the supernatural. And some of you are not getting your breakthrough because you will not obey him in just the ordinary. We can talk about Nahum. Nahum said, hey, when the prophet said, go dip seven times in the River Jordan, he got mad. Nahum said, couldn't he have told me to go to a cleaner river than the Jordan? Because the Jordan was a muddy mess. But we want something, God, to do something supernatural. But see, God don't need you to be magnificent because he is. Oh, help me somebody. The blessing from obedience. The supernatural blinded eyes open because of the blessing for us from obedience. We want God to deal with us from an position of unfair mercy. An unfair mercy, that's right. We want him to deal with us from an unfair mercy. I know I didn't do what you asked me to do, but could you still do what I asked you to do? Woo! Oh, I ain't getting no help up in here now. I know I was supposed to go to church, but Lord, I didn't, and now my marriage is falling apart, and my kids are all crazy, but now I'm here. Fix everything. Lord, I know that I've asked you for a wonderful marriage, but I've been promiscuous. But could you still do it even though I'm not going to stop being promiscuous? Pastor, no, I've been doing this 30 years. I'd make y'all toes curl from the real stuff I dealt with. Pastor, I want God to bless me retail, but I'm only going to worship him wholesale. I know, Pastor, you believe, you can you just pray that God would bless my family? No. Because you're doing everything to disrupt, dismantle, and derail your family in the ordinary. Pastor, I got some lung cancer. Would you pray that God would touch me and heal? No! Pastor, I've seen people smoke through their trach. I ain't lying. Pastor, would you just pray? No, I ain't praying. And you won't even take a class. Come on, somebody. Pastor, I need God to help my marriage, but you won't go to a class. Pastor, I need some help in my purity, but you won't hang around godly men. Pastor, what are you doing? That's what I'm talking about. We want to be from an unfair position of mercy. Listen, I will not be the taker Lord, this is what I want. I will always be the taker, right? And you will always be the giver. Because we've read the scripture that God doesn't need anything from us. He knows the need before I pray. So therefore, why do I need to pray? You also only come to God with your Santa Claus list. Look at your neighbors there. Are you glad you came today? I don't know if I'm glad I came today. But I'm trying to help somebody. I'm trying to help you get out of your mundane life, because you will not obey God in the ordinary parts of your life. But you want to come one day a week and obey God in the house and expect God to bless you the rest of the week. No, God says you ought to come to the house. But if you want me to bless you all week, then you need to obey me in the simple things all week long. See, we try to make God codependent in our lives. Codependents usually don't share their partner's addiction, but their lives tend to be taken over with the burden of caring for and protecting their spouse or partner. See, here's what it is. We expect God to do all the work and be at our beckoning call and deliver us from whatever we need deliverance from at a moment's notice. At a moment's notice. Pastor, I prayed 3 weeks. Yeah, all right. But when in the middle of your praying, did you do the ordinary? What do you mean? Did you act right? Did you give right? Did you do the ordinary? Well, I just want God to fix them. It's more about God fixing you than Him fixing them. See, if He... Because here's the deal. Here's where we become codependent. Because if God doesn't come to our defense or come to our aid or do what we ask Him, then we blame Him for what happened to us. You know, people that don't even go to our church call our church all the time for help in money situations. Pastor, do we give it? Nope. Why? Because you don't go here. Well, you're supposed to help the needy. We fed 21,000 people last year. We helping. But now here's the thing. Out of all the people we fed, I don't know who comes here and who not. Then why don't we do it? I know we ain't gained but about maybe 5 families from doing this for 15 or 20 years almost. But then why don't we do it? Because the Bible says do it. We're going to obey Him in the ordinary. And so God's going to do the supernatural when we obey Him in the ordinary. Amen. But here's what I know. The people that you don't help, all they want is money at that church. And if you do help them, thank you so much. And the next time they're going to come back for some more help. And then when you don't help them, they're going to go, all they want is money. Ain't nothing to that church. So there's no getting around. How many know what I'm talking about? Don't point at them if they're here. But you help somebody and they're thankful, but then they get mad when you don't help them the next time. They thankful that you helped pay their power bill, but then mad because you didn't help pay their daycare bill.
You better preach, preacher.
I believe I will. Amen. I'll amen myself, by God. Woo! Come on. God is not asking anything magnificent. Mike's trying to help y'all to help move me on. He's not asking anything magnificent from you. He is magnificent all by Himself. He looks for ordinary people He can use by obeying Him in the everyday of the ordinary. He's not looking for perfect people. Look at your neighbor and say, there's hope for you, baby. He's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for ordinary people. And you qualify. Look at your neighbor. Tell him, you qualify. You ordinary. Now, if that's your spouse, go ahead and tell him. But you ain't ordinary, baby. I'm trying to help your marriage. You ain't ordinary, baby. You extraordinary. Because I know what Pastor Brian said about Pastor being the man, but you my man. Come on, somebody. Tell me. I'm trying to help some of y'all. Amen. He took an ordinary man with an ordinary affliction and took ordinary dirt and ordinary pool with ordinary spit and brought an extraordinary result. God uses the obedience to ordinary stuff and the obedience to ordinary principles of God's word and yields extraordinary results. Now, I was fortunate the other night and to have some have an anniversary dinner with some of our friends who have been a part of our church for as long as we've been here. They're out working out of town for the last couple of years, but they're very good friends of mine, the Gwaltneys. And as we were there, they took us for their for our pastor appreciation, but they wanted us to celebrate with them their 39th wedding anniversary, which is certainly a testament to their life. And they asked him, he was asked by someone, how did you choose the right mate to make it 39 years? And he said to me, and I'm throwing you under the bus a little bit, Bill. He said to me, I told them I just got lucky. He said, because I didn't know Jesus. I didn't figure out this. I just got lucky. But I disagree with you, Bill. It's not. Because I love his answer and I hated his answer. I was lucky. But as I've thought about that answer, I would say, because I've pastored them for 26 years, it was obedience to the ordinary principles of God. When both, that means two. That means the wife and the husband. When they adhere to the ordinary stuff and the ordinary principles of God's word, it yielded extraordinary results. Understand it. Am I helping anybody? See, divorce was never an option. And they both have a relationship with God and wanted to please Him in their marriage and their relationship. All right, I got about 10 minutes. I got to finish. Would you like me to tell you the problem in the world today? Yes, we've been looking for someone to tell us that. Well, I'm so glad you asked. Because here is the number one problem in the world today. Point number three. Most people want relief, not a cure. If this mic was not so expensive, I would just drop the mic and walk up. Most people want relief, not a cure. That's why most people don't wind up changing. A cure, I don't know which one I added this today, so I don't know which one's on my, so just go with me, Mike. A cure as a noun means a means of healing or restoring to health. As a verb, it means to relieve or rid of something detrimental as an illness or a bad habit. It means to relieve or rid. But relief is only a means that relieves the pain and distress. See the difference? Most people want a relief. They want, but they don't want a cure. Well, Pastor, I disagree with that. Well, you're wrong. But let me tell you why you're wrong. Because I don't want to change my eating habits. I want a magic pill to make me lose weight while I still eat Krispy Kreme. I want a pill that makes me lose weight even though every day I want to visit Twisted Treat. I want a pill, and I don't want to change my eating habits, but I want a blood pressure pill to regulate my blood pressure, and I want a cholesterol pill to regulate my cholesterol, and I want a sugar pill to correct my insulin levels, and I want, and the list goes on forever and ever. We don't want to change. I just need 20 to hold me over to Friday. I don't want to learn any money management skills to last me a lifetime. Come on. Woo! I done went past your living room. I'm in your bathroom in your medicine cabinet right now. We don't want to learn money management skills, which is the cure. We just need a 20, which is relief. And then we got M. Scott popping up everywhere, which continues to tell me that I want relief. I can't pay you full rent this month. I just need to give you half of it now and half of it next week and a third the week after that, and then I'll finish it up on the day that I owe you next month. Come on, somebody. I just need you to talk to my child and fix them. I just need some marriage counseling. Not really marriage counseling. I just need you to tell my spouse to do what I say. But you won't go to a class. I don't want to go to married life to see how to be a better spouse. I just want relief. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 39, the prophet Elisha went to Gilgal and told the folks to cook up something for the sons of the prophet. One guy went out and found some gourds and put them in the stew, even though nobody knew what they were. All right, let me tell you, survival 101. Survival 101, if you don't know what it is, you probably ought not to eat it. But that's what he did. He threw it in the pot in chapter 4. Threw it in the pot, and everybody started getting sick and proclaimed, "Death in the pot! Death in the pot!" But Elisha said, "Bring me some ordinary meal." He brought ordinary meal, and he sprinkled it into this pot. And then he said, "Now eat." Now it was just fine. Nothing wrong with the stew. He took ordinary meal, sprinkled it into the pot, and added the word to it, and it was healed. So when you speak and do the word of God, it works. Some people have gotten real upset with me, but let me be clear. I had somebody leave the church because of this statement. And if you're going to leave, go ahead, because I ain't going to quit saying it. They left the church because I said that everybody from time to time needs a miracle. Now, that ain't the part that got them mad. Everybody needs a miracle from time to time. Here's the part that got them mad. But the more that I align my life with the principles of this word, the less miracles I need, because I'm operating in the blessing of the Lord, because the blessing comes as a result of obedience to this word. If I treat my spouse the way this book tells me to treat my spouse, I don't need a miracle of healing with my spouse. If I live within my means and count the cost in my finances, then it realizes that I don't need a miracle every day in my finances just for ordinary everyday stuff. Come on. This one guy come to me one time. He goes, "Pastor, in our lives we've had 4 cars given to us. Isn't that wonderful?" I go, "That's horrible. How many cars have you given away?" "Huh?" I said, "How many cars did you give away? You've been given 4. "Well, we couldn't afford to get one." I said, "Well, then you're not applying the word of God." Right. Amen. All right. Yeah, I'm going to lose some of y'all right there. Come on, somebody. Someone speak the word of God, man. Peter saw Jesus walking on ordinary water. And Peter, seeing Jesus in the storm, kind of painted himself in the corner and said, "Jesus, if it's you, bid me come." And Jesus said, "Well, all right." Jesus was Southern. "Well, all right. Well, come on out here, boy." But Peter got out of an ordinary boat, stepped on ordinary water, but it was because he was obeying the ordinary word of Jesus saying, come. And long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he walked. But when his eyes got on his surrounding and what was going on, he began to sink. It was Peter's obedience to step out on the ordinary that produced the extraordinary results. Woo. I start revival tonight in Lacoochee, Florida. I'm glad I got some word I got to get out. I'm going to preach this again. Y'all get ready tonight. They're going to have it again. All right. It was Peter's obedience. We try to make this too hard and too spooky and too spiritual. Lord. I'm Pentecostal and I do this all, so I ain't making fun of you. Hey! What do you want me to do? Would you like me to go to work today, Lord? Lord, would you like me to pay rent this month? Glory to God. Lord. We make it too spooky, man. Do, the Bible said, whatever you find your hands to do, do it to the glory of God. Your boss man ought to have to worry about whether you're too spiritual to come to work or not. My question to you today, come on, just kind of help me shut up. My question to you today is, what ordinary thing do you have within your power that God would like to breathe on in order to bless you and others? What do you have? And if you answer, well, I don't got nothing, then look again. Look again. Because you got something. What do you want God to breathe on? Let me go a little bit further. You know, sometimes there's a several people in our church, and they mean well, and I don't take offense to it at all. But they said, Pastor, I envision you sleeping in your suit. I just think you in a suit every day. Well, if you come by my house in the mornings, you're going to find a mohawk on my hair. I'm wearing a hat if my hair's messed up. Well, you so vain. Whatever. At least I don't go to Walmart like I didn't try. Some folks just go to, I didn't know we were just giving up. I didn't know we wasn't even going to try to look good. Somebody asked me the other day, Pastor, where does some of that stuff come from? I don't know. Maybe the devil. I don't know, but when we pray, or when I pray for others, we don't have within ourselves the power to place the supernatural on somebody. But as we are obedient to pray, God said, pray without ceasing. That's why I say, Pastor, what happens when you pray for somebody and they die? I say, next. Because it's not my job to heal them. God didn't say, you go heal them. He said, you pray. I had to look at this week. I've had some people who I've known for years who really disappointed me in their actions. People who I've preached to for years have really disappointed me. And I said, God, what's the stinking use? Why don't you just let me go kill them? Let me just go talk to them about you and let me just kill them because I'm just tired. I said, what's the use? And then the Lord began to deal with me. It's not your job to save and to keep. It's my job to preach the gospel. It's my job to preach the principles of God's word. So it is my job. It is not my job to heal. It is not my job to set free. It is not. You know why it's not my job? Because I can't do it. But as we are obedient in prayer, then God breathes on our ordinary obedience and produces the extraordinary results from our prayer. So many times I start out my prayer unto God in the natural, in the flesh. I got up this morning. When I got in the shower at about 5:10, I didn't go, oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Ha, ha, woo. No, I got in the shower. And as that hot water began to hit my head, like I do most mornings, I said, thank you, Jesus, for hot water. Thank you, God, for clean hot water. Thank you, Lord. I said, I just begin to pray, Lord, I ask you to touch me today, God. I pray you anoint me today, God, for the service today that is going to be. God, I don't know who's going to be there, but you do, God. I just pray that you would just season my words, God, and help me to say those things that you would have me to say, and help me not to say things that you wouldn't have me to say. I don't know how much that prayer got through today, but help me. Lord, just help me. And you know what? Before long, I was bathing, and before long, the soap started getting saved. Woo, Jesus. Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Ha! Before I know it, the shampoo was shouting. Come on, somebody. What I'm saying is I started out in the ordinary. My obedience to the ordinary to pray. And then God began to put his supernatural on the natural. See, we seem ordinary. What seems ordinary to you actually could be the seed of the supernatural in somebody else's life. The power of the ordinary, when it is submitted, did I put that on there? When it is submitted to God in obedience, produces supernatural. Sometimes an ordinary word of encouragement can be a prophetic word in somebody's life. Sometimes an ordinary word spoken can be a prophetic word. Sometimes a hug could be the seed of a miracle in somebody else's life. Sometimes just an ordinary smile, and they needed somebody to smile at them. Sometimes an ordinary apology can set folks free. Sometimes an acceptance of an ordinary apology can set you free. See, sometimes an ordinary Holy Ghost handshake. See, only Pentecostals know what I'm talking about, because that's Christianese. What's a Holy Ghost handshake? It's not one where you're shaking. No, it's a handshake that maybe have a $20 bill in it. God bless you. You're like, oh, hallelujah. Thank you. Glory to God. Where are my 20, bro? Yeah, where? Oh, I thought you were giving me the 20. You understand? But that $20, it won't help them out of their situation. That hug, that pat on the shoulder, what it says is God hadn't forgot where you are. What it says is I know your address. What it says is God said, I'm not through with you. What it says is I know where you're at, and I'm not going to leave you the same way that I found you. You never know an ordinary call to let them know that you thought about them will do for them who is feeling like a loser. The power of the ordinary. You know, I don't mean to throw Justin under the bus or anything, but at our pastor appreciation, he shared something with me that happened back in February, but he saved it. I was preaching revival. I knew that he was somewhere going to be preaching that night, and I just called him just to tell him I'm praying for him, and I know you're going to do a great job. You're a great man of God. You're going to do great, and I just had a word of prayer over him. I had no idea what effect it had on him, but it had an effect. Everybody in this room probably has had something that was ordinary to somebody, but to you. Wednesday night, I probably won't do this. He'll be in the 11 o'clock service probably. But Wednesday night, there was a young man. I still don't know what the issue was. He just needed, he doesn't have his father in his life. And he just needed a dad. And that night happened to be me. And he just fell into my arms and just cried. I don't know what it was about, but I just said, man, I love you. Praying for you. But see, when you don't have a dad, you need that. Somebody talking to me. Anybody hear me in here? The ordinary, the power of the ordinary. All right, let me finish up. I got to quit. You've got to give God something to work with. Give God something to work with. I know a mother who said, well, I'm not going to praise the Lord. She said this to me. She said, I ain't going to praise the Lord till all of my children get saved. I said, I'd hate to be your children. Eventually, she left the church. That's one of the families I was glad when they did leave. There's only three in my whole ministry. But she was one that left. I went, hallelujah, the witch is dead. Pastor, that's ugly. I know. Pray for me. Pray for me. You need something to pray about. Zechariah 4:10 from the New Living Translation. Let me see it. Come on, Mike. There we go. Do not despise these small beginnings. I'd like to put in there, don't despise ordinary beginnings. The King James Version says, do not despise the day of small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work began. To see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. Go, give me my next one. Give me my next slide. My next slide should be it. My next slide. No more? Talk to me. There we go. This is the New Living Translation. The people should not think that small beginnings are unimportant. Well, Pastor, I'm not what the Lord said I should be. All right, but did you take one step today? Ah. Well, Pastor, I screwed up. All right. Yeah, we all do. All right. But did you go all the way back to where you used to be? No, I just about halfway. Okay, that's a win. That's a win. I took a step today. Glory to God. The people should not think that small beginnings are unimportant. They will be happy when they see Zerubbabel with tools. They ain't seen nothing yet. They just saw him getting his tools together. I don't know about you, but when we were building this church, when I built my personal house, I got excited just to see the material come on. When I seen the red iron get delivered, I'm like, hallelujah, Jesus, glory to God. Because I knew it was the beginning of something. You need to know about the beginning of something. I'm sorry, that wasn't the New Living Translation. It was the New Century. That's why you couldn't find it. My apologies. Obedience in the small things becomes the qualifying thing for the big things to be entrusted into your care. Can I trust you with the small things? Everything has to start somewhere. Everything has to start somewhere. The mighty oak started out as a little nut that wouldn't give up its ground. Had to start somewhere. Favor comes from being faithful in unseen places. Favor comes from being faithful in unseen places. You have to be faithful when nobody's paying before you bring you to the platform where you can receive reward. Come on, somebody. You got to use your gift while not getting paid before someone will eventually pay you for your gift. Come on. If you be faithful when you have little, God can trust you with more. If you're faithful in the ordinary, God says, I will open the doors that no man can open. Stand to your feet in this place. Spirit Life team, come now. Ordinary. Ordinary. Every head bowed, every eye closed. ordinary. If you don't know Jesus, I want to invite you to, in an ordinary situation, just to ask him to come into your life. Pastor, how can this be supernatural? Because it starts with the ordinary. Your obedience to the word of God. The obedience says, I'm in need of a Savior. I believe that he died on the cross for my sin, and I confess with my mouth, believe with my heart, and I shall be saved. If that's you, I'm not going to ask you to come up here. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if that's you, lift up your hand right now, and you can put it right back down. I see that hand. God bless you, sir. Anybody else? I see that hand. God bless you, ma'am. Hallelujah. Everybody pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sin. I admit I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And you are my Savior. May your blood cover my sin. And according to Romans 10:9, I am saved from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give Jesus a hand. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.